I regularly stop into Monte Cristo, so it is a favorite. And I was thinking about, why is it a favorite, right? And I think it's part of that, like, it, while I do enjoy these other locations for the cigars, there's something just really comfortable and kind of old feeling about Monte Cristo. I have been known for years as a loyal Caesars person. But yeah, I have to say, I'm very happy with MGM. And I'm happy with the offers, the rooms, the variety, their whole package, right? And I like the machines.
Ready to maximize your travel and casino experience from both sides of the pond? From airline miles, hotel points, and loyalty programs to living in the lap of luxury in a Las Vegas casino, you'll find all of the knowledge you need to travel in style. Welcome to ZorkCast, powered by TravelZork, helping you travel smarter, gamble smarter, and maximize your adventures. Now, please welcome the hosts of ZorkCast, Michael Mason Traeger, and everyone's favorite Brit, Steve White.
Welcome back to ZorkCast, and we're ready for another really great episode. At least I think it's going to be a great episode, along with Whiskey Jen. And Jen has so much to share because she has been in Vegas land all week. So Jen, thank you for waking up early. This is
Did you see my coffee? Can't get this coffee. I got it ahead of time. My pro tip is get your coffee early, put it in your fridge, and be okay with however it tastes. It's going to do its job.
Let's talk coffee.
Let's do it.
Yeah, this is not on our extensive list of things.
Yeah, I didn't stand in the long coffee line. The coffee lines in Las Vegas are ridiculous, and so is the traffic around here because of the Formula One repairs on the road.
I know, but you can use the Starbucks app. Like at Resorts World, I was using the Starbucks app, and it was working really, really well. And to get from like a high floor at Conrad or Crockford's all the way to that Starbucks, by the time you get there, it's basically ready.
Yeah. So you just reach out, two hands, and there's your coffee. That's awesome. Yeah.
So I think that is actually a great way to do it. You know what's also interesting with the Starbucks app too? Now you can do it in airports. So like at Charlotte Airport, you know, as you're in line at security or TSA pre-check, and if you know where you're going and it's near, because I think the Starbucks is towards A gates, not that this means anything, you can pre-order there. And that's pretty good. I've heard of a lot of people doing that in airports, and that's super nifty idea in airports. But you're talking about, so when did you get your coffee? You got it last night and put it in a refrigerator?
Oh my goodness. I will terrify you if I tell you when I got it, but it was...
You know I'm a coffee snob, so this is going to really upset me.
Yeah, so I got it in the middle of the night because I knew that I'd be waking up super early. And so I have a fridge. You can probably see it in the background here in my room. And I said, you know, this is going to come in handy because I'm not waiting in line, because I did do the roll out of bed and roll the mouse to say hello to you. A little different than my roll out of bed and roll the dice.
That's interesting. That's very, very.
But not as interesting as you being able to get your Starbucks at the airport from the app, and for you to roll out of bed, and then to, when you're at Resorts World, to go to Starbucks and get your coffee. Because I feel like I'm kind of over here a little bit, what is it, south of Resorts World, that I don't see the ability to, I'm just not seeing the pickup spot for ordering at Starbucks and getting it over here at the Caesars and MGM properties. Please correct me if somebody knows something different.
Yeah. I mean, it is interesting because there are certain places where it seems like Starbucks is ubiquitous and then other places where it's not. So you're basically just drinking an old cold coffee just so that you would be ready to do the podcast.
Yeah. The things I do for you, Michael. Can you believe this?
But what is your go-to coffee? Before we move on to things that are more interesting, what would be your go-to coffee if someone was to freshly deliver you a coffee?
Okay. That, actually, can I answer a different question? I want to tell you my go-to coffee if I have to go leave my room and get it myself. So first of all, it's going to be, you're like, she never answers my questions. First of all, there is a coffee bean over at Aria that is to die for. They use this bean and it's, I'm going to spell it because, you know, I'm terrible with pronunciation and stuff. L-A-M-I-L-L. And it is a California roaster. It's out of control good. So if I have to walk over and get a coffee, leave my room, that's going to be it. But if I am not close to Aria, a little bit further north, I love to go to the Eat Well at Cromwell because there's no line there usually. So if you get a, if you say picking up a trend, I do not like lines.
I do pick up that trend. You know, one of the best places to go, which doesn't usually have a very long line, if, you know, this is from the Wynn perspective, is the Tower Suites bar at Wynn Tower Suites becomes sort of a coffee bar. They also have croissants and other things there. And they do really good coffee and they've got great glassware. You can get such a nice iced Americano in the nicest glass. And another perk is that the Tower Suites bar allows smoking. So you could actually have a cigar with your lovely coffee in the morning. Ooh. There. And that should probably bring us to one of the major topics of this episode. So if you are not interested in cigars, you might want to step away a little bit, but you might learn one or two things about some cool cigar lounges to go to. But before we get to Jen's cigar journey, which it's been a very interesting journey. She's been smoking a lot of cigars this week because I've been getting the updates. Tell us a little bit about, so you've been in Vegas all week. You've been MGM and Caesars Properties. You've been playing a lot. You've been staying in Vegas. So where have you been staying? What have you been doing? What do you want to tell us? Have you played any tables? Have you been staying? Like, just give us a little overview of what's been going. Give us a little overview about what's been going on this week. Okay?
Tell us what's going on. I've teased you with a few pictures and updates, but I would need to do the Find My Friend app for you because you're like, where is she? But yeah, so I have bounced around a bit from some different properties depending on what the hot offers are. As you know, we wrapped up the multiplier at Caesars, so I did spend some time at Caesars Properties. And then later today, I'll be making my way to a non-Caesars pool. So, but I did go on a cigar journey. I love your terminology there. And for folks who, hopefully you're still here, don't tune out because I think that I have a different perspective to offer as someone who is not your typical cigar enthusiast.
Okay, let's dive into the cigars. And then I'm going to ask you more, I'm going to ask you some tier multiplier questions, but let's do the cigar stuff because
I know you always want to know about my play. But I did play. I played a lot.
Wait, was it successful? Successful to a point multiplier?
I do believe so. We anxiously await the results. But I, according to my own tracking, which was slightly impaired by all the whiskey I drank.
Your tracking was slightly askew.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah. Yeah. Let's.
That happens to me too. I start keeping track of sessions. It's so OCD, so exact. The machine, the time, the coin in, the exact money, everything. And it's like session one, session two, session three. And then as it sort of continues on to session four, session five.
Oh, yeah.
It gets a little bit sloppier until finally it gets to the point at the end of the week where I just do the reconciliation by money, which is just basically to say, okay, I grabbed $1,500 from the ATM these four times and I came with $5,000. So that's the total of this. And I know I tipped out a couple hundred dollars. So I'm going to set that aside. How much money do I have on me? I do those combinations. Either that or if I'm playing on credit, it's a little bit different. I mean, credit is the best because like it's like see no evil, hear no evil, know no evil until 30 to 45 days. Then you can be really shocked, but it's good to keep track of that.
Yeah,
so cigars, you gave me some great, like just a great overview of some of the cigar stuff. And I think that's interesting. And I'm sort of interested in you expanding on this. So 8 Cigar Lounge, that's the Cigar Lounge at Resorts World. I know you've been hanging out quite a bit at Resorts World, and you sort of described it as like if you use words to describe it, like basically snazzy, bow ties, business, celebrities. Like, that's how. So what's the vibe like there? What did you smoke? What did you do? How did you wind up there? Tell us about 8 Cigar Lounge.
Yeah. So that was a little later in the rotation on the journey. So they were, it was pretty quiet by the time we got there. I think we kind of snuck in at the very end, like, don't close the door. So for me, that was great because it wasn't super smoky. So I can't speak to a ton about their ventilation system for those folks who are maybe bringing along a newer or reserved cigar friend. But yeah, but it was snazzy. I tell you, put on that bow tie for sure. They have a lot of like little private rooms. They have lockers. So it's really set up for some high-end clientele. And I've got my eye on their 8 hat because, you know, I love the number 8. Hard 8.
Yes, I know. Wait, hard 8. I know you love the hard 8.
Yeah. The hard 8 was good. The hard 8. It's very good to me.
But 8 is such a great number, especially if you play Baccarat. Like, 8s are so good. And I think with Chinese in general, you know, the whole like 8s and 9s, they're just really, really good numbers. 8's always been my favorite number. I've always loved, I think everybody has multiple favorite numbers, but 8 is like my key favorite number.
Yeah. Speaking of the 8 Cigar Lounge, I do want to go back. I need to do more research because I'm curious. It's so snazzy, right? But as a woman, what is the way to dress there? Because you're going to leave, your clothes are going to reek like cigars, right? So you wear that fancy dress and that fabric, it's just going to soak it up. But it is a place to look nice. Absolutely.
You know what's interesting though? I happen to like cigar and tobacco smoke, but what's funny about that is if you mix it sometimes, like I'm real into fragrance and I love Diptyque. I love Diptyque Vetiveria, and that's a little bit floral. But if you get the smell of like tobacco-y cigar smell along with the Diptyque smell, it can be sort of like a sexy kind of smell.
Oh my goodness. I'm going to go buy a bottle of that, spray it on Canadian Bill. He was my companion at the cigar. Come here, Canadian Bill.
I even have this is one of my Diptyque candles, but I mean,
wow.
Diptyque has some really.
You have a candle. That's awesome. You like had it in hand right there. Like, yes,
these are like my candles that I put on my desk at the end of the day. I sometimes light them when I'm having a bad day for like relaxation.
I love it. Like here at Vegas, I'm like, okay, where's my coffee, fish oil, and electrolytes? And you're like, you've got your sexy candle.
Yeah. So I think scent is a very.
Yeah. So I think that's an important thing. If you're going to go to Resorts World, you're going to go to 8, pack that scent. Yeah. No, what's also kind of interesting. So I was a journey. I went to Davidoff Cigars across from your favorite property from across from the Wynn. And let me tell you what I loved about that place is we sat on the patio. It was a beautiful day. It was perfect evening, beautiful temperature. And for me, who, you know, I'm a little more sensitive to the secondhand smoke, it was perfect. So if you have somebody who maybe like, well, I don't want to sit in a smoky place. Davidoff's across from the Wynn at that mall, the fashion mall, is perfect.
I was about to interject that. That's the Davidoff Cigar Lounges at the Fashion Show Mall. So basically, we just talked about 8 Cigar Lounge, which is at Resorts World. And then we're moving a little bit south down the strip. And we're talking about the Davidoff Cigar Lounge, one of my favorite cigars. And I am nowhere near a cigar expert. I'm not really an expert in anything. I know a little bit about a lot of things, but I don't consider myself to necessarily be an expert at a lot of things. But Davidoff Grand Cru number 4 is one of my favorite cigars. I just love the flavor, but I also love the size and the burn and everything about it. So next time we'll have to do Davidoff Grand Cru number 4. Because Davidoff is sort of hard because they have to be an official Davidoff retailer to sell those cigars. Yeah. And they are a little pricey. One question for you with these cigar lounges, are you allowed to bring your own cigars or do you always have to purchase there or is it a combination as far, like how does that work with the pricing? So, like,
That's a great question. I don't know if I was allowed to break the rules because I was with Canadian Bill, who kind of, he walks in with these imported chips, right? And he like feeds the staff and then he kind of just gets to do whatever he wants. But so I will say that Canadian Bill hooked me up with this incredible cigar that I want to tell you about if there's time. So we brought our own. But one of the reasons why he was really eager to have me is because I wasn't looking to buy my own cigars there at Davidoff. But on Monday night, they have this happy hour, 3-2-1. So you get three of the Davidoff cigars for 50% off. You get, so that's the three. Two, you get two drinks for the price of one. I can't remember the one is, you lose me after the second drink.
No, this is wonderful. Like this whole cigar happy hour thing is something I've never thought about. This is actually—
We're going.
Yeah, this is relatively brilliant idea. So I love that. And it's across from Wynn. I'm thinking about my upcoming birthday trip, which is still pretty far away. I have a Biloxi trip before that. But this is sounding just perfect. I mean, one of my favorite places to have cigars is the Wynn Tower Suites Lounge.
Yeah.
I mean, I find that that's relatively posh and just, I don't know, it's very throwback, like hotel lobby kind of throwback for when people used to be able to smoke in hotel lobbies. So, but I like it. I mean, they have beautiful ashtrays, they have beautiful cocktails, beautiful glassware. So where else did this journey continued on to Casa Fuente?
I want to say a little bit more about Davidoff cigars. So again, especially if you want to buy, bring a friend, right? And then they have this incredible cocktail. And I'm not easily impressed by cocktails, but they have this Frontiers cocktail with passion fruit. So for folks who, again, if you want to bring a woman and introduce her to cigars, Davidoff cigars is perfect with, you know, you can potentially sneak your own Alta Bay from Costa Rica in, give her a Frontiers cocktail, and she'll be sitting outside and be as happy as can be. So I just want to make sure to get those tips in there. But yeah, we wandered down the strip past the active volcano. So I did a little research to make sure, because we were wondering, like, is it still going? It is. And then we went to Casa Fuentes. And so you've been there, right? It's...
You know, I'm not sure I do. Tess, where is it again?
Like, it's kind of oddly placed in the mall attached to the Caesars Casino. So right there in the Forum shops. So it's a little weird. You're like, oh, I'm in a mall and wow, I smell cigar smoke. And it's just kind of off under the escalator. And the thing is, for folks who don't want to smoke and listen to casino noise, the sound of those machines, it's the perfect place to relax. And for my mojito loving friends, they have excellent mojitos.
So yeah, that's technically Forum shops, and I have been there before.
I figured you would.
Can you use Caesars comps there, even if not on a one-to-one basis or not? That's a trick question, huh? Because, I mean, I was arguing with a friend yesterday, and I said I would never use comp dollars when it's 2-to-1 for people who don't understand. So when you accumulate comp dollars in any program—
Yeah, I don't know if you saw my eyes widen. Oh my goodness. Yeah, do not when you accumulate 2-to-1, please.
Yeah, when you accumulate in any program, so say you accumulate 100 comp dollars or Caesars reward credits or express comps or whatever a program calls them, you want to spend that $100 as $100.
Yeah,
many casinos have outlets, often not owned by the casino, that are what they consider 2-to-1 outlets. So basically, you're getting half the credit. So your $100 is only going to be worth $50. It's really a rather stupid use of your comp dollars, because at some point you're going to go somewhere that you can use your comp dollars where it's 1-to-1. So
yeah, and
you might as well pay cash, you know, unless, I mean, yes, in theory, if you had unlimited, if you had unlimited comp dollars.
Yeah. So I found myself in a difficult pickle recently where everything closed and I was like, oh no. And I wanted to stay at an eat somewhere where I could room charge. And so I ended up at Cafe Americano, which over at Caesars for their fish and chips. But essentially in that place, again, like they don't, you'd think that you'd get all those benefits there, right? They're situated at the front of Caesars, but no, you don't. So even if it can look like, oh, of course, Cafe Americano, it's right by registration. Like, no, you want to ask, like, is it the one-to-one? Can I do the room charge? Ask all that stuff ahead of time. And then I think the lesson that I've been learning over and over again with my adventures in Vegas since COVID is you got to ask and you got to keep asking because the rules are changing. But yeah, so no, I can't imagine that you could do anything with your Caesar charge. I just assume if you cross over into the forum shops, be ready to pay with credit card or cash. They're not going to do the room charge and they're not likely to do the one-to-one.
But heavy Americano, you can do room charges at Caesar's.
You can. Yes. Yes. You absolutely can. Yeah.
I don't love Cafe Americano. I've been there a couple times, especially when the casinos reopened. It was one of like the places I was staying at Caesar's.
It's a last resort, but I will tell you, if you have had a really long, hard day, night at the craps table, and somebody's just like, I just need some fish and chips, and that will bring you back to life. You'll feel like $1 million the next day. Sometimes you just have to do what you got to do. But I do want to warn you, I was with the Canadian Bill, and he kept going, wow, there must be a dancing convention. All these women keep approaching me and saying they're dancers. So be very mindful of who approaches you and talks to you at some of these like late night bars.
Yeah, there's a lot of strangeness that goes on late at night. I mean, I guess what upsets me so much at Caesar's, I'm really stuck on this, is that they used to have such amazing branding of some of their restaurants. So the 24-hour restaurant, I believe it was the 24-hour restaurant at Caesar's Palace, used to be called the Noshorium for the word nosh. Mm-hmm. And it was like super duper like retro. It was like the typical like quotation marks, like coffee shop, like New York style coffee shop that's open 24 hours and has all kinds of, you know, all kinds of things to eat. And I get sort of sad sometimes that they don't do that anymore. Like, I just think it was such a great, concept. I also think that Caesar's just came up with some, you know, some things that are just so funny. Like on their menu, on their old menu at the Noshorium, it's like, I, Caesar, invite you to nosh at the Noshorium. And I just think that, you know, there's something so novel about Caesar's Palace. It was just so kitschy and so cool. So it was like sort of high end, but you had
maybe
this,
we
like,
could
funny
start a campaign to bring it back.
You got enough followers,
right? Bring it back.
I really think they should, but it just makes me sad that I think we've lost some of that like cool vintagey stuff, you know, instead replaced with Cafe Americano.
Yeah, that's interesting you say it, because I was thinking that too as I was walking around. So many changes at Caesar's. I do have to say, I regularly stop into Monte Cristo, so it is a favorite. And I was thinking, why is it a favorite, right? And I think it's part of that, like, it. While I do enjoy these other locations for the cigars, there's something just really comfortable and kind of old feeling about Monte Cristo and the staff. The staff are incredible. But yeah, but I think Caesar, if it loses too much of that, tries to be, you know, compete with these new places and lose its identity, it could lose its charm.
Yeah, and Monte Cristo, the cigar bar, that's like right near like the Nobu and the steakhouse. It's in that hallway.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's right. There's the Nobu and Old Homestead, is it? I think it's down. Homestead. That's all in that area.
Yeah.
So.
And one of my favorite things to do is to wander into Monte Cristo and order a salad. They've got such good salads. Again, like if you're trying to convince a non-cigar smoker to join you, lure them in with that. And you cannot go wrong with any salad on the menu. You get, and if you're feeling like you need something heartier, they have incredible meatballs. So they deliver the food from Old Homestead over to you at Monte Cristo. How cool is that?
Oh, that's super cool. And you can definitely use reward credits at Monte Cristo, right? I mean, I think that's one.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Although I do want to warn you, if you're, you know, let's say you're sitting at the bar and you're going to be playing the little machines there. So they have a limit to the dollar amount that you can be comped for your drink. So for example, one of the best drinks at Monte Cristo is their old fashioned. You're going to be hard pressed to find a better old fashioned in all of Vegas. And or even anywhere I've gone, that is my favorite old fashioned on the planet. But if you're sitting there hitting the machine and playing, they won't comp that incredible old fashioned. So I use my drink vouchers with the Diamond Plus there, or sometimes I just take out the old, please charge my room because I need this old fashioned.
Yeah, that's sort of, I mean, it's a great use. I mean, that's another place that's a wonderful use of the drink vouchers. So just to remind people, those drink vouchers are now worth $25 a drink. And if you're Diamond Plus and above, you get four of those vouchers a day, which are applicable at many, many Caesars bars, you know, including the bar at Martha Stewart. And yeah, it's really a great benefit. It replaced the Laurel Lounge. And once again, yes, it really sort of screwed regular Diamond people, because the regular Diamond people don't get anything for being Diamond anymore. They used to be able to pay to get into the lounge with reward credits, and they, in Diamond Plus, and everybody gets other stuff. But another topic that comes up quite often is this whole lounge thing and lounge market. You know, people are very bitter about the Diamond lounges closing in Vegas. Caesars was the only property that really had a good number of Diamond lounges. And was it $10, right? 10,000 reward credits?
Isn't that wild?
Or was it a no, that's 1,000 reward
credits. It was essentially equivalent to to $10. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's,
so you could go get egg bites at Starbucks, or you could go to the Laurel Lounge. And then the choice was clear.
Yeah. And that was a really, really good benefit. And even though, you know, people would complain about the food offerings and things like that, you really did, you basically had lounge access for $10. And then if you were Diamond Plus, you didn't have to pay the lounge access for $10 for yourself and a guest. And when Caesars reopened and they decided not to reopen the lounges, they came up with these drink vouchers, but they never quite figured anything out for the Diamond folks. I think this is another one of those things with COVID where they were considering closing the Diamond lounges for a while, but they had nothing like to push them over the ledge. The same as room service. Like, a lot of properties were considering discontinuing room service, but they sort of needed that extra push, and COVID did that. And I think,
you know, it's interesting to say this. So I've been taking Canadian Bill on a tour, and he's saying to himself, well, why should I go for Diamond Plus? Because I keep saying, Canadian Bill, come on, you're Diamond. Like, to me, I think Diamond Plus is a sweet spot. And so saying, hey, you know, you're going to get these drinks, let me show you all these cool places where you can get the best value. Because it's not just at the, you know, some of these bars get the same drink you'd get on the floor. And so I've been showing them around, you know, like Martha's with that glassware, but also the Monte Cristo has excellent glassware. If you haven't seen the difference in their old fashioned glass, Michael, you must come with me. And, you know, so we were so timely, we were reminiscing about the old lounges and missing them. Another thing that's kind of interesting that I'm reminded of is while I was shooting the at the craps table, I have someone I haven't seen in years ended up wandering in. And I met this person at the lounge. I used to meet so many interesting folks, you know, at the lounge. I really do miss the camaraderie of elite players hanging out and nibbling on the food and consuming way too much alcohol in the lounge.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. It's fun stuff. I mean, I think the main, I mean, just to finish off the lounge thing, lounges were never a thing in Las Vegas, and Caesars had them, but pretty much so nobody else had them. And they don't really need them as a competitive advantage because nobody has lounges for the most part. Basically, nobody has lounges. I mean, I know MGM has some of those like VIP check-in lounges, but they're not like real lounges. Whereas in other markets like Atlantic City or, you know, in other places, there are lounges are a really big deal. Atlantic City is the one that always comes off the top of your head because they've got Seven Stars lounges, they've got Laurel lounges, and also MGM has a really good lounge, Amphora at Borgata. But it basically has to do with the market. But what was so interesting, and a lot of people were surprised by what they call the Gold Room at El Dorado in Reno, which is basically a Laurel Lounge or Diamond Lounge, is still operating. And that's 100% okay for regular Diamond people to go to. So that's like an amazing tip if you want to wander over to Reno, which is really getting better, I think. I mean, I think there's been a lot of effort there. You still have a legit Laurel Diamond Lounge without a copay. Now, there's no food, but there's, you know, there's free drinks, free coffee, and things like that. So that's sort of cool to see. So it really is market by market. And I'm surprised sometimes that, I mean, I guess people are not in some of the other markets, so they don't really mention what's going on in the markets. So it's hard to, you know, like, I don't think Harrah's San Diego's reopened their Laurel Lounge. Laughlin has not reopened theirs, I don't think, whereas like some of the other ones are fine. So it's extremely confusing.
Yeah, I think, you know, but one of the things that I'm kind of hearing Canadian Bill's rant come in, and it's, you know, so he has a direct flight here to Vegas. A lot of people don't have those direct flights to these other markets. And so we do miss those Laurel lounges. And I think this brings me to an interesting thought, which is, do we stay with Caesars, right? So we've talked a little bit about Resorts World and Mirage, you know, the new Hard Rock under Unity. You know, do we make the switch? And what would keep us, you know, or lure us over?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, and that's always, there are always going to be trade-offs, right? And that's always the thing that's so difficult with all of the programs. There are always trade-offs. And Caesars has some really good tier benefits and does some things really well. MGM does some things really well. I mean, for all intents and purposes, MGM copied call it Total Rewards, Caesars Rewards with regard to the threshold bonuses for gold and platinum. The only thing that MGM did that was smarter is that MGM said, hey, we're only going to give you that dinner if you earn gold. Whereas Caesars still, you know, which we can't really blame them. We can't really blame them for that. But you, what were you going to chime in about?
Oh, well, actually, I want to say something about that. You know, I actually do. I mean, I'm not, I didn't do the bookkeeping procedures, but I think it was a great idea for them to kind of give stuff away, because even some of these people who are points chasers who status match and get the, you know, they didn't necessarily play and then they get the dinner, right, with their match status, they still come and spend, right? And so it'd be interesting to look at it from a financial perspective. Was it a good move? Because gambling is just one way to spend a lot of money here in Vegas. But so what I wanted to do is throw out a challenge there. So I loved that, you know, we had some responses to previous episodes, but I like to pair someone with a casino. I certainly couldn't do it for everyone, but if people were to tell us, like, for example, if you were to let me know what your favorite slot machine is, music genre, beverage of choice, and your footwear, I want to pair you with a casino. And then you can try it out and then report back to us and let me know how I do. So let's get some tweet responses for that.
It's sort of like a date finder for casinos.
Oh my gosh.
These are all my characteristics. And I will suggest to you what casino property. So let's talk a little bit about like your MGM experience this week. What can you tell us about your MGM experience? Like maybe where you played, where you stayed, any of that kind of stuff. Can you tell us anything about like what it was, what you liked, or maybe I'll critique it? Because I know, you know, you're sort of loose bouncing around, you know, MGM and Caesars. You know, your loyalty lady is all over the place.
You
so
know, it's
I want to get to the bottom of this, okay? I mean,
I gotta say, I'm seeing so many old friends with the Caesars multiplier, they came in heavy. And then I told them, I was like, oh, I'm wandering down over to Aria to get some coffee. And they're like, wait, what? You? Because I have been known for years as a loyal Caesars person. But yeah, I have to say, I am very happy with MGM. And I'm happy with the offers, the rooms, the variety, their whole package, right? And I like the machines. I like the way they pay. And I like the collection, like the different types of machines that they, particularly like there's some that I don't see as often at Caesars properties.
So what's your favorite MGM property to gamble at?
You can choose two because I love them all for different reasons. You know, I gotta say, last night I was wandering through Bellagio. And usually I'm pretty hard. I'm like, why would anyone go here, right? Because I just think there's just so much tourist traffic going through, but there's all sorts of reasons. I think we should do an episode where we just look at comparing some of these MGM properties. I think that would be really neat because I want to talk about some of the intricacies of the different properties. So yeah, that's a hard question, Michael.
What's your favorite MGM property to play?
I know you're like, she never answers my question.
I mean, seriously, you really should be in politics. It's not that you don't even answer my question, but you actually managed to not answer it. But it takes you 5 minutes to not answer the question.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to tell you, my favorite MGM property was the Mirage. I am gutted that the Mirage switched over to the new Hard Rock. And all around, I loved that property. But I do think I want to schedule another episode with you where we dive into all of these different MGM properties in Las Vegas. And there's just too much to say. I'm not trying to be a politician here. I'm trying to be fair to the listeners.
Okay. And I know you want to do on a future episode, I know you want to do Resorts World versus Mirage.
Yeah.
And we don't exactly have time to
do that today. No, we don't have time today.
But that's interesting. And you want to talk about pools too. Resorts World pools are great. You also want to talk about topless pools.
Topless pools are interesting.
Mirage has a very good topless pool.
Mirage had the topless pool. So I got to go find out, do a little research to see if they kept that. You know, if the volcano's at risk, there might be other things at risk too. So, but yeah, actually, I do want to do a little tip. And this time, since we've spent a lot of time talking about drinks already, I'd actually like to give a tip on a slot machine. I don't usually do that, although I'm full of great info if I'm ever spotted in the wild. But I want to talk about Buffalo Ascension. Do you play that?
No. Tell me about it. And right before you start on that, the pool lounge that you're referring to at Mirage, which I believe is still open, is the Bear Pool Lounge. And I believe that is a European Bear. Yeah, Bear.
Exactly.
B-A-R-E. Yeah, and I believe that is a European pool. I think that's fancy talk for topless.
But
anyway, yes, we'll let you research that more and come back to us. So tell me about this, but I have to tell you, I know this is going to break your heart. I hate the fucking Buffalo games. I find them extremely irritating. But tell me about...
Ah, that's right. You know, but I do have a memory of you talking about that. Yeah.
But you can tell me about this game because I'm always curious to hear, even if I don't... I mean, most slot games just annoy me so much. So it's quite typical, but there's something about Buffalo that I find even more
annoying. Yeah, we talked about how much, you know, it can kind of like flip flop. It teases you. It takes a lot of money from you. But I do want to say, I think that there are people who are making a good amount of money off of Buffalo Ascension. They're losing a lot too. But for folks who are like, oh my gosh, I need a game where I can get some points and I do have to be ready to lose, so bring your bankroll. But if you're playing, if you're lured into this machine, Buffalo Ascension, the thing that I want to encourage folks to do is before you end your play session, take a look around. Does somebody want your machine? And I would venture to guess that if you look down at that little pad where it's, you know, you've got the different denominations, and if any of your screens, the different denominations say 3,000 or higher, you can bet that there is somebody who wants your machine and would be happy that you're leaving it behind. Now, I would discourage anyone from getting up and leaving a machine that's 3,000 or higher, but you do, again, it's not a guaranteed win. So, as you know, those machines can be so frustrating.
And that's a level or a state that's different on each of the denominations.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say, when I'm over the last few months, the hand pays that I'm seeing are coming from that machine. I've seen a lot of people are losing really big on that. So be careful. So I, you know, obviously make your own choices on what you're going to play. But if you find yourself, you're looking at that machine, you're like, should I play? If it's 3,000 or higher, give it some thought. If you are playing and you're thinking of leaving and it's 3,000 or higher, I'm just letting you know, somebody's going to be very happy you left that behind. Doesn't mean they're going to win.
What is it reset to?
So, good question. I don't play anything lower than 3,000, so I pay no attention to its reset. So, are you familiar with this? So, it's kind of, you build, it'll show these three towers that you're building up. And so,
I'm looking at it now. It's an Aristocrat game, and I'll put a link in the show notes, but I get a little bit of an idea.
Yeah. So basically, so reel one and reel five don't build in these little squares that I'm telling you, like in terms of their accumulation, but reels two, three, and four, you see them climb. So now reel three is where you find the super stampede, and that's where the bigger hand pays are coming from. People chase those. It's obviously the hardest to hit. And I have hit them a few times. They've not always been handsome payouts. It's not a guarantee it's going to be handsome, but essentially you're looking for as many of those little squares as possible. And I'd be happy to talk more about that. We could probably talk for a good chunk of time about Buffalo Ascension to give some tips on that.
No, that's interesting. And I caution people here, there's a lot of, I mean, I know what people talk about advantage play slots and states and things like that, and you really have to get yourself super educated on that kind of thing. And the general tip I always give people is, even if something is in a slightly positive state or more positive state, you know, it still doesn't mean you're going to win. And you might have to play a significant amount of time. I know of a couple of friends who really like Hexbreaker. Do you do Hexbreaker?
Yeah.
That's a similar kind of situation there. So I caution people, because this is no like...
Yeah, know what you're getting into.
There is no... Yeah, know what you're getting into. This is no quick avenue to, you know, winning money. So just be aware of that kind of thing. I think it's extremely interesting conversation. I think it's mostly ridiculous for people to chase these things who are not really dialed in advantage players. But I still think it's interesting fodder. You know, I think it's interesting stuff to look at. Also, you do have to, you know, you have a lot of different things going on in your play. You know, overall, I'm from the OG generation of of gamblers that says that pretty much so you stay the fuck away from slots and you play video poker. And video poker is the way to go, because even if it's short pay video poker, it's still so much better than slots. The other thing is, with video poker, you do know what your pay tables are. You do know what your house edge is. That gives you some idea of what the Theo, the casino, is going to give you with regard to rating. But we can argue those things in a couple of different ways. I mean, sometimes you're chasing towards a daily bonus, and the daily bonus is quite valuable to you, either the Caesars daily bonus or the new MGM daily bonus. My prediction is MGM is going to extend that daily bonus past July, and it's going to become a regular thing like Caesars. You heard it here. That's my prediction. Ooh. So sometimes you're chasing that. Sometimes you have a multiplier, you know, and some of those multipliers, like, you could do anything. Like, Caesars is known for, we're talking about tier credit multipliers. There was just a 5x tier credit. I did the 10x tier credit in Reno. But what's really interesting is Caesars also has reward credit multipliers. And usually the minimum for that is about 3x. Not very interesting. But once you get up to 10, 20, that could go up to 300x.
Yeah.
300x. Start to think about this in your mind. 300x. That is crazy. So that means if you were to gamble all day and you activated your multiplier and you happened to be lucky enough to get the 300x, it used to just be 100x, and you earned from your play $50 in comps. And say, okay, I earned $50. Sort of sucks, because, you know, the comp earnage is not, you know, comp rates for earning is not as great. For the reward credit earning is not as great as it used to be. And, you know, MGM is even more confusing with everything being Theo based. But on a 300x, if you earn $50, that would be 50 times 300. That would be $15,000. If I did the math right. Which I believe I did, off of $50, because that's crazy. So now you enter into an interesting situation with these outliers of 50, 100, 300x multipliers, that you can fucking play anything. Because everything, because the amount that you're earning, in, you know, you would want to test and say, oh, this slot
give
machine.
It to me. Yeah.
I mean, you know, like for Caesars, what you would do a test and you would say, okay, $5 equals a tier point, but how many reward credits am I going to earn? So maybe you'll do a test of like earning 100 tier points, you know, you would earn 100 and then see what that 100 earned you in reward credits. Mm-hmm. And that gives you a rate for the reward credit earn. And you might compare that on a couple of machines. Mm-hmm. The higher the house edge, you know, the machine, the more machine holds, allows you the machine, it's more, it's going to probably pay you in reward credits, but that's sort of variable. But when you get those kind of outliers, it really doesn't matter, because you're earning such a ridiculous amount of reward credits. So it's very interesting. There's lots of, you know, reasons to do different things. And that's important to, you know, just important to pay attention to. I think sometimes, not as much these days, because slots are so ubiquitous on YouTube and everything, and the slots, and people talk about them. You know, it used to be years ago, you know, the more OG people would be like, gotta be full pay video poker, gotta be this, gotta be that, you know, like the best games, the best games. I think people are less intense about that. But sometimes, you know, quite frankly, giving up something makes sense. You know, sometimes, you know, the added Theo makes sense for whatever reason. Like if you're on a multiplier, so it's fine. Because if you're on that 300x multiplier for reward credits, slots is going to pay a lot more in reward credits than video poker is. Mm-hmm. So that might sort of make sense. So even though you're giving up you have your house edge differential, but you're earning a lot more reward credits. And remember, if your reward credits are being multiplied 100 times or 300 times, that's what you should be thinking about. So there's a lot of interesting stuff.
Oh my goodness, I want to schedule another trip. I may never leave. Send me offers. That sounds amazing. I love all this, the multiplying.
Yeah, no, these things are really, really exciting. And then also the other thing about it is when you chase these large play days, and if you could do it in an extremely disciplined way, that big day of play, you are going to get really good bounce back offers.
Yes.
And that's something to think about. And some properties, like I heard recently that like Tropicana, which I think is Bally's now in Vegas,
yeah.
You know, the new Tropicana becomes the new Bally's, the yeah. one that's across the street from Excalibur and all
right
that.
Right near the old Hooters. Oil.
Yeah. Oil. Yeah. But they're paying, you know, their bounce back offers are like 7 days a week. So you're getting, you know, they're rewarding you with slot play, you know, because a lot of times that's the other thing. You might get offers and they might say you get 500 in free slot play for the trip. Some yeah. places say you get, you know, so, but there are some places that do it daily and then they double it on certain days. So that can be extremely valuable because think about it this way. If your offer from MGM or if what you're getting from MGM is like, $250, say, oh, let's use $300. Say your offer from MGM is $250 for the trip. Well, that's nice, $250. And then sometimes MGM doubles it, I think, for check-ins midweek, so it's $500. But what if you're getting $250 from a place like Tropicana, but you get it every day of the week, and then they double it on Friday and Saturday? I'm making this up, but I'm just saying that's extremely valuable because now you're like $250 times 7 plus another $500. So you really have to look at some of those, you know, from strong play. And that is why if you are a gambler, if you enjoy trying new properties, if you enjoy playing, that you should be very, very thoughtful about your play and your big day of play. And I know that's something that's really bothering, you know, that's really on Jen's mind with regard to the Unity match to, I think, Icon at
Yeah, yeah, we have so much to talk about.
Because she really wants to do the match, but she wants to do it and definitely play strong.
Yeah.
And we can argue, you know, play strong that day because she wants to activate offers. She just doesn't want to get the $100 in food and beverage credit. She wants to then, you know, get that and also then activate future offers. And I know the biggest question somebody's going to give, which nobody can really answer, is like, if I do the match and I don't play at all, you know, is that going to hurt me if I come back a couple months later and then decide to play? And it's a tough one. I don't think it will that much, but it might. And Jen and I were arguing about this a little or going back and forth like, hey, you know, some of these matches disappear and won't you feel like, won't you be all pissed off that when you went to do the match, you don't get the $100 or something like that? And that is always a risk you take. I mean, I think the least risky way to do it is to do the match, get your match, get and use your $100 and also play strong that day. So you have your using $100 in comps, you're playing strong, your match all in one day. And, you know, I mean, that's probably the safest way to do it, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think we can agree on use it. If you get it, use it, right? Don't hold on to these things for another time, right? So I hear a lot of people say, oh, I'm going to save this offer until I can go with my, you know, fill in the blank, this person. No, use it. And then use your credit card when that person finally agrees to come with you, right? Don't be afraid to come here more than once.
Well, it's very important, except for perhaps the highest level of players that can negotiate it with a host. It's really important to use up your reward credits in most cases if you're going to ask for discretionary comps. Discretionary comps are when you ask for additional comps above and beyond, because most properties today want to use the earned reward credits first and then will consider discretionary. So in Tahoe, when I got the extra $750 worth of comps, they still, before that, they zeroed out my comp account.
So
they
zero it out ahead of time. Do it for them.
Exactly. Well, and that's a very good point, because say you have $400 in comps in your Caesars account. You could convert those into free play. You can use those directly. so that when you go to check out and a host goes to review things, it might be better for you to be zero. I mean, let's not be like the IT keeps getting better and better, and they usually have a number that they can give you, and it doesn't always work. You know, that doesn't always work out, you know, exactly perfectly. Like some people are like, oh, I'm going to zero it out. Like if when I checked out, say I, let's pretend I had $90 in comps and they pulled my 90 and then they gave me 750 more. If I had zero in comps, would they have definitely given me 750 more? I'm not sure. You know what I mean? Like sometimes sometimes it's tough.
What we do know is that if you had 750 in the rewards credits, you wouldn't be getting comped, right?
So that's for sure. Well, that's
because your hands are tied, well, right? So let them help you.
Right. I mean, the concept of saving reward credits for a rainy day is just not good. I mean, you should be zeroing out your balance all the time just because. And also, if you zero out your balance, you never have to worry about, you know, because you do have to play a tier point every 6 months at Caesars to keep your reward credits. You never have to worry about one of these pickles of a situation where you thought you were coming back to Vegas, you got sick, you canceled a trip, and then you didn't get back to the market. And now you had $500 in comps and they expire them on you. And then you feel like an idiot. So I know, I think it's something like, it's like with mileage, you know, you hate using your miles, some like you like to accumulate, you like to see the balance grow. It's fun to say, ooh, look at all the miles I have, but you really, you need to, you know, you really need to use these things. So I think that's great. So we've covered a lot. Is there anything else you, I mean, I want to hear about that night that you were playing.
I know you're like, all those table games.
So just to end, just tell us, give us this, give us this sexy table game story. Just give us one from this week.
I told you about,
okay?
See this for all the viewers, not viewers because you can't see us, but for all the, the listeners, I told Michael about, I had a wild craps adventure and now he wants the details. It wouldn't be fair for me to start that so late in the episode.
Just give us an overview. Why was it wild? You played so long. What did you just a little, just, I mean, just like, tease us me. A little bit with this it. Is- just tease us a little bit with it. To tell us, you don't have to tell us exactly where you were playing or what. You see, she's elusive on purpose. I know this. I know there's like a backstory to why she's elusive probably. But just tell us a little bit, like, did anything strange happen with the bets? Were there any interesting parlays? Were you Dewey-don'ting? I love that. I turned that into a verb. So just give us a little bit and then we'll wrap up the episode. Okay, I'm not letting you leave until you give us a little bit.
I know you're going to hold me here. So, you know, I will say one of the interesting things that was happening, no matter which property it was at, people were fighting, lots of heavy drinking, and it made for quite the experience as you're, you know, you're on that hot roll. And then, you know, and so we had some pretty aggressive don't players who could rile up a table. And so, and you know that I occasionally put my chips on the DP. And
were you on the DP this time?
I was. And I was on DP with some other insensitive DP players who were just ruthless. And I was like, oh, I hope nobody notices those are my chips there too. And yeah, so we had a lot
Was this one of those tables where you really had like the don'ts versus the pass line people? Like you really had a good number of don't players and then a good number of pass line people. And you were really going at each other. I hate those tables.
But is this what this is? Yeah. We had, you know, these kind of old school folks who you see every multiplier over on the left. And then on that right side, where I had kind of snuck in an open spot and I'm just quietly placing my don't chips. And then next thing you know, that whole side that I was on turned really aggressive don't. And it was quite a...
Were they shooting from the don't?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely did that. And then, you know, you got to watch those folks, right? Watch the way they roll.
Well, usually they roll like maniacs.
They were maniacs. They were hitting chips. And it was like,
usually people who shoot from the, because they sort of feel if they shoot like an absolute maniac that it's going to make the evil number.
Oh, they were knocking down chips. And it was, I mean, they were totally disruptive. Another thing that they did that was like driving everybody crazy. So, okay. So you imagine again, like the right side of these heavy don'ts. We're talking like hundreds of dollars on the don't and lots of black chips on the, and then there. Hold on. Oops. Maybe I gave away something there. If you know where the, no, the colors are your chips for which property. Anyway. So, but that left side, they're all these, you know, like they got the camaraderie. They're all in it together on the pass line. So those pass line people, a really sweet guy. He's trying to shoot, right? So the dice are out. He's got his two fingers holding the dice. And then these don't players start yelling out. They want, they're like, three, four, $1 at a time. Dice roll. These are not legit bets, but they did it rapid fire. And it totally disrupted the shooter. And it was getting everybody riled up. Lots of hooting and hollering and, you know, some big words being said. Anyway, it was wild.
You know, don't players, there's just something about them. Anyway, so we have to figure out what we are going to do next time because we've covered a bunch of topics, but this was sort of fun and I'm glad you brought us on your cigar journey. Remember to send us what you'd like to talk about or questions for Jen at tips@travelzork.com. You can also tweet us at Zorkcast or at Travelzork or DM us. And Jen would love to know your questions. We'd love to know what you're interested in hearing about. Maybe we could get her to squeeze a little bit more information out about her. But we tend to get it out of her once we do it.
You squeeze that. But actually, I have a lot more to say about the gambling experience. But I appreciate you saying to folks, send us those things you want us to talk about, because I'd like to tailor some of the information. And don't forget, I have mentioned, if you want me to pair you to a casino, you can let us know.
Yes, Jen's pairing
Please,
to a casino.
Well, let me pair you.
Yes, let me. She is the casino matchmaker. Anyway, thank you everyone for joining us. And until next time.
You've reached the end of your stay with us on this episode, but we encourage you to visit our website for more resources at travelzork.com and to continue the conversation on Twitter and Insta at @TravelZork and on the Zorkcast Facebook group. Travel smarter, gamble smarter, and maximize your adventures right here on Zorkcast. Until next time, dream big, and remember, a dollar won is twice as sweet as a dollar earned.